He, referring to Simon Peter, shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he, Cornelius, called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's pray, and after we pray, you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Acts, where we see so much of the Great Commission getting started, and we see churches being planted all over the Mediterranean world, and we're thankful for that model that we get to read. Lord, I pray that you would use this chapter today as we focus on Acts chapter number 10. Pray that you'd use it in our hearts, and I pray that you would help us to be faithful to the text, faithful to your word, and I pray that you would speak to us and use us and work in our hearts so that we would be better disciples of your Son as a result of our time around your word today. Lord, we sure do love you. Pray that this service would be honoring to you. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. We, as humans, are creatures of habit. We have our routines that we get into. We have our comfort zones that we enjoy. We often get settled in our routines, our habits, our comfort zones. But there are times that God wants us to step out of our comfort zone in order for progress to happen in the Great Commission. I want to talk to you for a moment just about we as humans. You think about today. Today is an interesting day because of time change, isn't it? Now, in the fall, it's a lot easier than in the spring, right? But still, it kind of messes things up for us. If you're like me, I woke up several times in the night checking my clock. Okay, let me Google what's mountain time. Did my clock actually change? You know, did my watch actually change on its own? Am I going to leave in time for church today, you know? And worrying about that kind of thing. And, you know, when you think about a day like today, it bothers us in some way. Maybe not this one as much as the spring, but it bothers us because there's change. And we as humans, by and large, most of us, do not particularly enjoy change. Now, I'm not overly familiar with your area of Colorado. I'm not overly familiar with your town and what's in it and how much traveling you guys do to bigger towns or to like Colorado Springs. I don't know. But I have some experience with other people, as you all do as well. And I think that in your town as well, you would agree, there are certain things you just do, okay? The route that you took to get to church today is probably the same route you took to get here last week. Well, maybe not last week, 2 weeks ago. And there may only be one road. But a lot of times, if we're going somewhere, there's a couple ways we can go, and they might be the same distance, but often there's a couple ways to get somewhere. I don't know how many restaurants are in your town. I don't know. But there are certain restaurants, wherever you go, even if it's to the Springs, there are certain restaurants that you go to. And there's hundreds of restaurants in Colorado Springs. And you probably go to four of them, you know? And you just don't try the other ones because you're happy with the ones you tried, right? And you just go to those ones. Am I right? We're creatures of habit. Some of you ladies have an entire shelf of cookbooks in your kitchen. And you might have a recipe box that's packed full of recipes, but there's probably about 10, 15 of them that are dog-eared from being used all the time. And the rest of them, someone gave you, you tried once, and you just leave them in the back of the box. Or you leave that cookbook on the shelf. Why? Because we are creatures of habit. We have comfort zones. We have an area of life that we're comfortable in. And this is true with people. This is true with the people we talk to. Again, I don't know your church, and I don't know who usually sits there, but I sat there this morning. And for most of you, the place you're sitting today is probably pretty close to where you sat for the last 6 months, if you've been here. Is that fair to say? Or the last how many years? You know, you have your spot that you sit in, and we're creatures of habit. There are certain people we just tend to gravitate towards and we talk to and become our friends. And then, because we're creatures of habit, those are the people we interact with every week. And sometimes there's other people that we just say hi to and go on with our lives, because we're creatures of habit. And it's hard for us sometimes to step out of our comfort zone. And yet God often wants us to step out of our comfort zone for the purpose of his mission, which is the Great Commission. It's getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. when we look at the book of Acts, we see some of those first steps in the Great Commission. In Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, we see one of the several verses that gives us the Great Commission that Jesus shared with his disciples before he sent it into heaven. And he told his disciples to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, the surrounding area, to Samaria, up where Cornelius is in our story. But Samaria wasn't friends with Judea. Samaria was somewhat, people they did not like. If you're familiar with that history, people would travel across and around Samaria, traveling in very inconvenient places to avoid going into Samaria to go between Galilee and Judea because they didn't like the Samaritans. But God tells them, Jesus tells them, hey, you go to Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to the people, the neighboring people you don't like. And then he says, go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And as for you and I think we're all grateful for that because we are much removed from the Middle East. We are much removed from the land of Israel and that region of the world where the Great Commission was given. So the gospel made it to us somewhere along the line. And if you have not heard, let me just be clear, I don't know each and every one of you. If you have not heard how Jesus Christ died for you, how he rose again, and how we can have a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, today's a great day to hear that gospel message. But somewhere along the line, whether it's after church today or whether it was 40 years ago, the gospel came to us here, okay? And we take it with us. But there are still a lot of parts of our world where the gospel is not yet preached. There's a lot of parts of our world that are still the uttermost that we need to send so that where we need to send people so the gospel can go forward. But a lot of times to go to those areas requires people like you and like me, normal people, stepping out of our comfort zone. And this is true with the story in our text. Because Cornelius was not in the comfort zone of the apostles, especially the one here. And that's what we're going to look at today. Because God wants us to step out of our comfort zone. But what is it going to take for us to be willing to follow him in that way? As we look at the book of Acts, we're looking at what is often called the New Testament era, or maybe the church age. And this era, starting in the Gospels and through the book of Acts, this era has just begun. And the word of God is spreading. But what we see up to this point, in the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts, is pretty much the gospel just going to the Jews. And you might think, wait a second, if you know your Bible well, what about Acts chapter number 2? Acts chapter number 2 carries with it the story of Pentecost. Okay, and at Pentecost, you had a whole lot of people from a lot of different nations coming together in Jerusalem for this Jewish feast. There were Jewish people in other countries who travel back to their homeland, to the Holy Land, to the temple for Pentecost. And it's in that context that Peter and the other apostles stand up and begin to preach, and God does an amazing miracle where their language is understood in 16 different languages. Does that make sense? Their preaching is understood in 16 different languages. And so then the gospel goes to these other people and is able to be carried back to their homelands in the mouths and in the minds of these people. And yet, they were still Jewish people. And as time goes on, the gospel is being preached, but only to Jewish people. And in fact, Acts chapter number 11 tells us this, that even as persecution arose and people were scattered, they preached the gospel in these Gentile cities to the Jews only. And so for a while, that's what they were doing. Why? Because the Jewish people were the Jewish apostles' comfort zone. That was who they were familiar with. That was the people they were willing to reach. And the people even in neighboring Samaria had to wait for a bit. And eventually you have preachers going there and you end up with Peter going there as well and preaching. But what about the Gentiles? In Acts chapter number 10, this is really the first push that we see to get the gospel beyond the Jewish people, beyond the half-Jewish people in Samaria, to the Gentiles. And that's what we see in this story about Cornelius. Many have turned to Christ already. Persecution has arisen. But only a small part of Christ's work has been started. There is a lot more to this Great Commission. And we're going to use this term as we go on. We're going to use the term frontier. We're in the West. There was a time where Colorado was part of the Great Frontier. And we've used different terms. There's sometimes people talk about the last frontier, whether that was Alaska or whether that was California, depending on the time frame. Or nowadays, people talk about space as the final frontier, or the ocean depths as the final frontier that has not been explored. So a frontier is something that's kind of just beyond our reach. It's the furthermost limits of knowledge or achievement in a particular subject. And when it comes to the gospel, guess what? There's a point beyond which we have not yet reached. And we need to be willing to step out of our comfort zones to cross new frontiers with the gospel. And that's what we see in Acts chapter number 10. So what will convince us to get involved in new frontiers, in new areas of the Great Commission for the gospel's sake, for our Lord's sake? In our chapter, we're going to see three characters who all have their role in the gospel crossing new frontiers. The first of those people, the first of those characters in the gospel crossing new frontiers is the seeker. The seeker. In our story, the main seeker here is the man named Cornelius. Cornelius and some of those around him were seeking the truth. Cornelius is described in verse number 2 of our text as a devout man. He was godly. He was just. He was faithful. He was giving. He was one who fears God, one who feared God. He was an example from our perspective of a good but lost man. He was doing a lot of good things, and he was worshiping the one true God, but you know who he had not learned about yet? He hadn't learned about the one way to God, Jesus Christ. And so he's a good, lost man. His actions were in the right place, but his heart was not yet cleansed. And so let me just make it very clear to you this morning, sincerity and works do not save. Because salvation is by grace through faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ in the gospel. You know, as we look at Cornelius, we see this man who is seeking the truth. And sometimes people ask me, what about those who have never heard? You know, up until this portion, Cornelius had not heard the truth of the gospel. What about those who have not heard? We look at the lost areas of our world, the unreached areas of our world, and there are people every day dying and going to hell who have not heard what Jesus Christ has done for them. But there's a bit of encouragement in this passage. And there's a bit of encouragement in Luke chapter number 11. You don't have to turn there. But in verses 9 through 10, Jesus is the one speaking. And he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." I can't prove it, but I think that this verse applies in a story like in Acts chapter number 10, where when people follow the revelation that they already have and they're looking for more, God gives them more. But you know how he does it? He uses people like you and like me to share the truth. And so here's this man, Cornelius, who's looking for the truth, and God gets involved to get the truth to him. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself there. But in Acts chapter number 10, as we get further in the chapter, in verses 30 and following, you see Cornelius tell Peter this same story. 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And then he tells the story of this angel coming and saying, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." And he's given the instructions to send for Peter. But then in verse number 33, Cornelius says, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou, Peter, art come. Now therefore," does it say, "am I here alone?" If you have your Bibles open, it doesn't. It says, "Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." And so here's this one seeker who's looking for the truth, but more than just the one seeker benefit from the truth, because other people get it as well. I want you for a moment, though, to to think about who Cornelius was. In verse number 2, we get this really nice description of him that would fit really well on a tombstone. He was devout. He was God-fearing. He gave alms. But what about verse number 1? What is he first introduced as a centurion in the Roman army. Now, from our 2023 mindset, our 21st century mindset, we can look back, and at least I have, looked back at the Roman military and it's like, wow, that's really interesting. You know, we tend to be pro-military, patriotic Americans, and so we're looking back and we're like, wow, they had really cool armor and really cool headdress, and it's really interesting to look back at that. But what do you think the Jewish people were thinking about the Roman military? You think about when Jesus Christ came as the Messiah of the Jewish people and Savior of the world. But he comes as the Messiah. What were the Jewish people looking for? It wasn't the suffering Savior. They were looking for a king who would come and throw off Roman oppression so that they could be free again. And so here they are. Here's the Roman military, the oppressive army over the people of Israel. And Cornelius is one of those. Not just any soldier. He's part of their leadership. He's a centurion. He's a soldier over about 100 men. So he's a man of influence in the hated Roman military. He would have been viewed as the enemy. You know, in the group of disciples, you have a zealot. The zealots sure didn't like the Romans. You have Peter, and I think it's interesting that Peter is the one chosen for this task. And I could spend more time. I'm going to go ahead and talk about it now. You think about Peter. Peter is known for talking a lot, isn't he? He says things. Sometimes he puts his foot in his mouth. But we get a lot of really interesting truth in the process. We get lessons learned in the process. Well, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, excuse me, and Judas comes with a group from the temple and a band, this regiment of Roman soldiers. If I remember correctly, it's about 600 men. You're talking about a huge group of soldiers coming to arrest one man, Jesus. They're not playing it safe with this revolutionary, you know, the Roman military. And so picture the disciples sitting there, and Peter and others have been sleeping as Jesus prays, and they're probably still a little bit groggy, but then they see this whole group coming, this crowd coming. They're awake pretty fast now. And we know from other texts that there are probably at least two swords among the disciples, okay? Who pulls the sword? Peter. Do you think Peter thought that he would survive the next 15 minutes? No, I don't think so. Because he's facing off 1 to 2 swords against 600 trained soldiers plus this other multitude of people from the temple, and yet he's willing to do so. Do you think he liked Roman soldiers? I don't think so. And so I think it's interesting that God chose to use Peter to go towards this man, to the enemy. But there are seekers all around our world who want the truth. And there are seekers even among groups that we might classify as the enemy who are desiring to know the Creator and the Redeemer. To this point, Cornelius is devoted to God, but he only has a small part of God's revelation of himself. He hasn't heard about Christ's finished work yet. There are seekers in many places. And there are seekers today in countries and among people that we or our country or our government might classify as the enemy. But God loves them just as much as he loves us. Because God loves the world and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I think about where God has directed our hearts and where God is using us. And we're in a part of the world where our government can easily just label enemy, 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 enemy. And I've had, I'm sure well-meaning in some way, people talk to me in the past and mention their belief that the problems and the issues over there should just be bombed out of existence. You can't. It's a lot more complicated than that. But we have to stop and realize that even among those groups that our military or other people's militaries may be getting involved with for often very good reasons, even among those groups, there are people who are seeking for the truth. I think right now about Gaza. There are Christians in Gaza. Did you know that? There are people who are looking for the truth in Gaza who've never heard it. And so I just want to make you stop for a moment and think that even among groups that might be classified as the enemy, there are people who are looking for the truth. And God gives us one of those examples right here in Acts chapter number 10. God could have chosen things a lot differently here. He could have chosen that the first Gentile to be reached with the gospel in Acts would be someone really, you know, special who was just a servant-hearted person, and instead he chose this soldier. Now, this soldier had a lot going for him. He did a lot of good things, but he's still in that group classified as the enemy. There are seekers in our world who are looking for the truth. Let's be willing to step out of our comfort zone, to go to those people that for some reason we may not have liked in the past, or we may still struggle to like or struggle to love, and realize God loves them and God wants them to hear the truth. It's easy to get so focused on the needs among our group that we forget about the vast needs in other groups and people groups all around the world. And so I want you for a moment to think about that. Open your hearts. Look up for a moment and look on the fields. Jesus told his disciples, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We see the seeker who's looking for the truth, the lost who are looking for the truth. And maybe this morning that describes you. Maybe you're looking for the truth. Maybe you haven't made a decision yet on whether Jesus Christ really is the Son of God and Savior of the world. You're in a good place to find the truth this morning. But as we go on in our story, we see that not only is the seeker involved in the gospel crossing new frontiers, but we have the second and most important character in our story, and that is God himself. God orchestrates his mission. God helps with the gospel crossing new frontiers. God is involved. In our story, we already read in verses 3 through 6 about this vision that Cornelius receives, about this angel that visits him, and the instructions to find Peter to hear the gospel. We go on to verse number 9, and the Bible says, on the morrow, meaning the next day, as they, the men sent from Cornelius down to Joppa, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. About what time? About the sixth hour. Okay, if you were to put an o'clock on that, that'd be about 12 o'clock, noon. Okay, what's not surprising in the next verse? He became very hungry. We're getting close to noon. How many of you are getting hungry? I'm with you, okay? He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He's really hungry. The Bible tells us, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. You remember that verse in Proverbs? Okay. So here's Peter. He's really hungry. And guess what comes down from heaven? A bunch of animals in this vessel like a great sheet. And he is told, rise, kill, and eat. And if you're hungry, you're in this opportunity, you'd probably be jumping at it. But you know what Peter looks at? He sees inside there, and he sees animals that were unclean according to the Jewish regulations, the Jewish ceremonial laws. And so presumably he saw pigs in there. Maybe he saw shrimp or lobster or something like that that they were not supposed to eat. And he's told, rise, kill, and eat. And you know what Peter's response is? Not so, Lord. I'm paraphrasing here, but nothing unclean has ever touched my lips. So here's Peter, who's trying to be a good Jewish person, trying to follow the kosher laws, and he's saying, I can't eat this. Vessel goes back up into heaven, comes down, second time, same thing, rise, kill and eat. Not so, Lord, I'm not doing anything, I'm not touching anything unclean. Goes up into heaven, third time it comes down, same thing, rise, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. And then as it's let back into heaven, that third time, there's three men at his door knocking. They're unclean men. They're not Jewish people. They're not people that Peter would typically hang around or want to be around. And yet they were looking for the truth. All that to say, God got involved in his mission. God got involved for Peter to step out of his comfort zone. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And so let's realize God many times orchestrates our actions with other people. Trust in the sovereign God. He may put someone across your path providentially this week that he wants you to talk to about the gospel. Trust in the sovereign God and step out of your comfort zone. God is the ruler of the universe, and each of his subjects has their part in advancing his kingdom. Each of us have a role. God is in control. Let's trust him. Think about the Great Commission. The most well-known passage of the Great Commission is from Matthew chapter 28. And in verses 18 through 20, he says, "All power," Jesus says, "all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And the last word of the verse is amen. Did I miss something? I did, didn't I? It says at the end of that verse, before amen, it says, "And lo, I am with you always." Till all the disciples are gone? No. Even unto the end of the world. The Great Commission was not just for the 12 disciples. It was for the disciples who made disciples who made disciples. You know, all the disciples down to us. Where God uses local churches all around our world to preach the gospel. God uses his servants to preach the gospel. But we're not doing it alone. Because he gives us this promise right here that he's with us all the way to the end of the world. And we see that in Acts chapter number 10, but guess what? God's still involved today. God's still opening doors today. God's still giving us opportunities to preach today. But are we stepping out of our comfort zone to play our part in the Great Commission, crossing new frontiers? So we saw the seeker who's looking for the truth. We saw the sovereign God who's still involved in his mission. And thirdly, we see the third character involved in the gospel crossing new frontiers is the disciple. The disciple. Disciples are used to reach new frontiers. But that's where we get involved. We need to get involved in the need. In Acts chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, but in verse number 19, we see that mention that the gospel is spreading to these other towns, but unto the Jews only. And it's in verse number 20 that it finally goes beyond the Jews to the Grecians as well. You know where that opening of the doors to the Gentiles really starts? Right here in Acts chapter number 10, where Peter steps out of his comfort zone to fulfill the need in the Great Commission. Disciples are used in two ways, as personal witnesses of the truth and as bearers of the word. But both of us are tools in the Master's hand to reach the lost with Jesus. And so we look at our text again. And in verse number 20, Peter is told to go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter goes down, and he gets to Cornelius up in Caesarea. And go down to verse number 24. Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And then you get Peter opening his mouth in verse 34. Okay, not unusual for Peter, remember? He talks a lot. He opens his mouth. He often puts his foot in his mouth. And in verse number 34, he says this, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Now, we learn elsewhere where this righteousness comes from. It comes through Christ, and we see that later on in our passage. Verse number 36, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know." Verse 39, "We are witnesses." In verse 43, "To him," to Jesus, "give all the prophets witness." So there's the witness of Peter as an apostle. There's the witness of the prophets and the written word of God. To what? "That through his," Jesus' name, "whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's where the righteousness comes in. The forgiveness of sins comes through faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. I want to read one other verse here. And let's see if I can find it real quick. As we look at our text, verse number 28. When Peter first gets there and he starts talking, he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's what he learned from that vision with the sheet being lowered three different times. And he realized that God wants everyone, not just the Jewish people. God wants the Gentiles. And God wants us, and God wanted Peter, to step out of his comfort zone, to play our part in the gospel crossing new frontiers. You know, I grew up in a very missions-minded church. Even before we did Faith Promise Giving, we were still a missions-minded church, and I'm so grateful for it. We had a lot of missionaries come through. And rightfully so, our focus was on church planting, and it should be, because that is the heartbeat of the Great Commission. But I went my whole time growing up until I went to college not realizing that a big part of the Great Commission and a big part of church planting is bringing the Word of God into the language of the people. You know what that takes sometimes? Stepping out of our comfort zone. Stepping out from what we are used to doing sometimes. And I don't know about you. Maybe you haven't made a commitment before to Faith Promise Giving. It's a commitment to the Lord. Okay? Why don't you step out of your comfort zone today? And figure out which part God has for you in His plan to reach the world with the gospel, to reach the world in the Great Commission. We all have our part. God has His. He's still involved in His mission. There are seekers all around the world who are waiting for the truth. There are also people who aren't seeking who still need to hear it. And the truth is brought to even those who aren't looking. But what about us? We have that chance to be that disciple, bearing witness to the truth in the world around us, in our community, and across the globe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for Acts chapter 10, Lord. And there's so much more we could have learned from this passage. And yet, we have our role, just like Peter had his role here. And Lord, we do find ourselves in our comfort zones. And maybe it's how often we're willing to talk to people about the truth. Maybe it's what we are giving. Maybe it's being in our comfort zone with our work and where we are in life and not listening for the still small voice of you directing us to take a step of faith in the Great Commission. I don't know, Lord. You know each and everyone's heart here. I pray that you'd soften our hearts. And I pray that you would help us to be willing disciples being used in the Master's hand. I pray that you'd guide us and direct us. We sure do love you. We're grateful for you.
Well, amen. I think the message this morning at least has to do with coming out of your comfort zone. You know, sometimes we get very comfortable in that sense that we think we're all right. But I would ask you this morning, as you sit here today, if on the way home you were to get in a car accident and be killed, do you know without any doubt, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that for your life to end on this earth, you'd stand in the presence of God accepted because of Jesus Christ? And it may not happen, hopefully it won't happen on the way home from church. But someday you're going to die. You won't have time. You won't have time taking your last breath to say, okay, I need to get this right. You don't have time. Death's an uncertain thing. Your life's a vapor, the Bible says. You know, to receive Christ, you've got to step out of your comfort zone. You've got to come and say, you know what, I'm not worthy. God should not accept me. I recognize my life. I'm not who I should be. I don't think God would accept me. Well, I can tell you, through Jesus Christ, God will accept you. He promises that. You can be sure that whether your death is next year or 10 years from now, because of Jesus Christ, you'll be accepted. You'd have to step out of your comfort zone. Many of you all have that assurance of salvation. You've received Christ as your Savior. Do you think about the lost around you? Some of you have them in your own family. If they died, they'd go to hell. You know the truth. Have you ever told them? You work with people. They're good folks. They're your friends. They're lost. You know they're lost. Can you step out of your comfort zone and give them a gospel track this week? Speak to them about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here today, and God says, yes, you're doing that right where you are. But I have somewhere else I want you to be. I have a place I want to use you. I want you to give me your life and let me send you to one of these unreached people groups. Will you step out of your comfort zone this morning if God has asked you? Would you even offer? Say, God, I'll do whatever it is you want. We're going to sing page 458. I'll invite you to stand and we'll sing a couple of verses of song and you respond as God would have you to this morning. 458. Amen. Appreciate the message this morning and you sharing your heart with us and see that in his life, his desire to get the word of God, get the message of the gospel to people. You know, he's really right there. And the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God, but there are those that know there has to be more. There has to be more than this. And they're waiting for someone to tell them. And so I want to encourage you.